Is your investment portfolio working as hard as it should be? What if I told you that most investors are leaving money on the table by not rebalancing properly? Or worse, rebalancing too often? Today, we're going to dive into the science and strategy behind portfolio rebalancing, and I'll share three actionable frameworks that could boost your returns while keeping your risk in check. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, hey there, Wealth Builders. This is Brian, and you're listening to the Wealth Decisions Podcast, where we turn some complex financial concepts into actionable strategies and good decisions. Today, we're tackling a crucial topic that many investors, I think, either overthink or they completely ignore, and that's portfolio rebalancing. So before we dive in, though, let me share a quick story. A couple months ago, I met with an individual, and they filled out my risk tolerance questionnaire. And they hadn't rebalanced their portfolio in over 5 years. They didn't even know it was something that they should do. But thanks to, you know, the recent performance of the markets, the original mix that they had of 70-30 was now close to 86-14. Now, whatever risk tolerance they had when they first invested this money, maybe they did have a higher risk tolerance than a 70-30 mix of investments. But I don't know if they intended to now be out of alignment with that original risk tolerance. Their portfolio was almost 90-10 in stocks versus fixed income. So without even realizing it, they were now taking on more risk than they had planned for. And this is a common situation that I think proper rebalancing can prevent from happening. If you haven't ever rebalanced your portfolio, it's a great risk management strategy, and it gets you back in line with what you originally planned on. So let's break down the three key kind of aspects of portfolio rebalancing: the why, the when, and the how. First of all, why rebalance at all? I get this question, why wouldn't you want to just keep your whipping the winning horse, right? Think of your portfolio kind of like a garden. You know, over time, you know, some plants, they grow faster than others, they take up more space than intended. And rebalancing is kind of like pruning. It keeps everything in proportion and ensures that no single area kind of dominates the whole picture. The fundamental benefit of rebalance is that it kind of enforces a buy low, sell high discipline. When you rebalance, you're essentially selling assets that have become overweight, and typically those have gotten expensive, and you're buying assets that have become underweight, and typically those are relatively cheaper. But here's where it gets kind of really interesting, and this is something many investors get wrong. More frequent rebalancing isn't necessarily better. Each rebalancing event should, you know, can incur some costs and potential tax implications. So you have to be aware of that. If this is in a taxable account, you have to be aware of what rebalancing could do in terms of taxes. The key is kind of finding the sweet spot. So let's look at some research. There was a really great study by Vanguard that found that rebalancing annually or even semi-annually produced nearly identical results to monthly rebalancing, but with significantly lower costs. So this brings us to our first actionable kind of insight. Don't over rebalance. So when should you rebalance? I think there's three main approaches to look at for when you should rebalance. There's a time-based rebalancing. This means that you're rebalancing on a fixed schedule, and that's typically annually or semi-annually. It's simple, it's systematic, and it makes it easier to stick to. And remember, the best strategy is often the one you'll actually follow. So if an annual rebalance, a time-based rebalancing works the best for you and your schedule, then absolutely do time-based rebalancing. Then there's what's called threshold-based rebalancing. And this involves rebalancing your allocations when they drift beyond a certain percentage from their targets. For example, if you set a 5% threshold and your stock allocation is 60%, you'd rebalance when your stock allocation drifts above 65% or below 55%, because stocks don't always go up. We can have periods where your allocation was 60-40 in stocks versus bonds, and now it's lower in stocks because the markets have gone down. And that's the power of rebalancing. It's taking advantage of the greed and fear. When people are greedy and your portfolio is now 70% in stocks and it used to be 60%, if you're smart and wise, doing some type of rebalancing, getting your emotions out of it and balancing things back to your original mix, you're taking advantage of the growth in the market and being prudent about getting your risk back in alignment. And it goes the other way as well. When the fear gauge hits all-time highs and stocks are down, if you rebalance your portfolio and buy stocks at lower prices, you're taking advantage of the down part of a market by rebalancing. And the third type of approach is just more of a hybrid approach. It just combines both of these methods. You're checking your portfolio on a regular schedule, but only rebalancing if you've crossed certain thresholds. This is a nice approach because you're staying on top of your portfolio, but also not just rebalancing just to rebalance. If it's not on that year mark, if it's not above the threshold, then you keep the portfolio the way it is until you reach that threshold. But let me share just a real world example. A prospective client of mine used a hybrid approach with quarterly checks and a 5% threshold. And last year, they only needed to rebalance twice, despite checking in four times. This saved them money on transaction costs while still kind of maintaining their desired risk profile. Now, here's something really crucial that often gets overlooked. You know, life events should trigger rebalancing considerations too. You know, major changes like switching jobs or receiving an inheritance or approaching retirement are natural kind of times to reassess and rebalance your portfolio. I saw a lot of people before the financial crisis that were way overweighted in stocks and they were close to retirement. And some of those people, a lot of people joked about not having a 401k anymore, but they had a 201k because it was cut in half. The financial crisis was a black swan event, and those don't happen very often. But if you're 3 to 5 years away from retirement, you need to have a balanced portfolio. Forget about the number that you want your portfolio to hit by the time you retire. And get rid of the greed in your mind and focus on your goals. What's important is having a diversified mix that'll help you reach your goals, not necessarily hit this number that you have in your head. That can be a big mistake. The last thing you want to do is to not be able to retire on your terms or have to go back to work because you had the wrong mix for your stage in life. But now let's look at something practical. Here are three actionable strategies you can implement today. You know, set up a rebalancing calendar. You know, choose specific dates like the first of each quarter or mid-year review or at the end of the year. Mark them in your calendar with some type of reminder. This removes emotion from the equation and makes it more of a routine task to keep you up on your risk and your investments. Now, most financial advisors, including myself, look at quarterly reviews, look at the threshold and see where we're at. If the mix is now out of balance according to their risk tolerance, then we'll do a rebalance on that quarter. If not, we may do it in the mid-year review. And we may not even do a rebalance at all in a particular year if the markets haven't performed very well or are flat or down. It all depends upon market conditions. But staying with your original asset allocation, as long as something hasn't changed, maybe your risk tolerance has changed. Maybe you don't have as much of a risk tolerance as you're approaching retirement. And maybe the mix needs to change because of that, not just necessarily because of a rebalance. So you may want to take on less risk. And a financial plan can show you how much risk you need to take on to reach your goals, to retire comfortably, and stay comfortably retired. Number two, you can use some type of rebalancing bands. I recommend starting with this 5% band. And this is going back to this threshold. So write down your target allocation and calculate your upper and lower bands. For example, if your target allocation is 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds, your upper band is going to be 65% in stocks and 35% in bonds. And your lower band will be 55% in stocks and 45% in bonds. So whenever you get out of that original target allocation by the upper band or the lower band, you rebalance the portfolio back to that target allocation to keep your risk aligned and take advantage of any opportunities for rebalancing. Number three, maybe create a rebalancing, worksheet. Document your target allocations, your current allocations, and the specific actions needed to rebalance. This makes, just the process of rebalancing a little bit more mechanical rather than emotional. So before we wrap up, here's your homework. Take 15 minutes this week to document your target asset allocation and set up your first rebalancing check-in. By setting up some type of regular schedule where you review your original asset allocation versus your current allocation, you're just staying on top of your money and making sure that it's aligned to reach all of your most important long-term goals. And I think the biggest thing when you're rebalancing is just taking some of the emotion out of it. Have a threshold in place that no matter what, no matter how good you feel about the market, rebalance the portfolio back to your original asset allocation when you've reached that threshold. This will make sure that you reach your goals long term and manage the risk in your portfolio and not be overweighted when you should be balanced. So that's it for today's episode, when and how to rebalance your investment portfolio. And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at MomentousWealthAdvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening and have a great weekend.